Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Friday edition of Sports Time Radio, and I'm the Big Jack, and well, you know who's here on Friday.
Start spreading the news.
Right, Schomburg Stu is here. What's going on, Stu?
Hey, we survived another week, which is a good thing.
Yes. Somehow we have managed to get through, even though they're attempting to shut everything down again. So we'll see how that goes. Oh, but anyways, if you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need? Head over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so something will be popping up there sometime tomorrow morning. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link. Get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, we'd greatly appreciate it. But don't forget, there's also the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, still no Stu on Twitter, but feel free to reach out to me at Burke Time, and I will forward any messages along. So there you go. We're up and off and running or doing something. I don't know what the hell we're doing. So, but I did see, you know, this was kind of interesting to me. Well, actually, the first thing I got to ask you, this just popped into my head. You know, I was thinking about gambling some money on, you know, the NFL this week. And I need to know your opinion. Do you think the bye will cover the spread against the Bears? And do you remember what they're favored by?
Well, we don't have to worry about it this week, at least, since they're off. And even when they're off, they're an underdog. Even so, it doesn't make any difference with the Bears. And but I question what the spread's going to be for next Sunday night's game, a week from Sunday, actually. 7 points at least,
yeah.
Dogs.
You've got to think. You know, I you know who knows what they're. You know, what they're going to end up being, they're just bad. But in what has turned out to be some kind of interesting NFL news, you know, Drew Brees is hurt. So the Saints went ahead and they officially put him on injured reserve. He'll now miss 3 weeks. So obviously they need a new starter. And it looks like, and they haven't made it official yet, but it looks like Taysom Hill is going to take all the snaps and Jameis Winston is just to be the backup. Are you a little surprised that this was the route they went, considering, you know, Jameis Winston is a legitimate NFL quarterback and Hill is just kind of a gadget guy?
I'm very surprised, and I can't understand their thinking there and their rationale in making that decision. Any ideas on your part?
You know, the only thing I kind of thought of was the fact that, you know, it slowly but surely it looks like this might be Breeze's last season. And Hill is signed for multiple years. They gave him big money in the offseason to stick around. So you've got to wonder if he's their quarterback of the future and, you know, this is why they're going to go with him, where Winston is just signed for this season.
Well,
you know, so there's very
possibly,
little chance he'll be back.
Possibly you could be right, and I know Brees was hurt pretty badly, so any guarantee that he's going to be available for the last three games of the season?
You know, you never really know. That's just the plan right now because he is on IR. So he's got to miss the minimum of three games before he'll be allowed to be brought back. Yeah, it just, doesn't, you know, you just don't really know what it'll actually end up being for him. You know, we'll have to kind of play along and wait and see. But yeah, it is a pretty serious injury. You know, you're talking about broken ribs and a lung issue. So they're,
you
know,
he's no longer a youngster either, so it takes a little longer for him to heal, I would think.
So yeah, it's you know, it's definitely not the ideal situation for, you know, for him, of course. And yeah, I was just kind of wondering if, you know, they're throwing, you know, Hill in here because it turns out to be more of a test for him. They want to know what they have and if he can actually be the guy if it goes that way, and they need him to be a full-time quarterback next season.
The thing is this, though, if he falters when he plays next game, are they going to immediately put Winston in for the other two?
You know, in the position they're in, you would think they would, you know, because they're playing for, you know, it's still home field advantage. I don't know how much it actually means, but, you know, it is still something. So, yeah, I would think that they would want to, you know, at least have that going for them, or, you know, who knows. But yeah, it would be difficult to, you know, just be kind of like, oh yeah, okay, let's just let this go. So,
well, I hope the guy does a good job. I hope he does a good job. You always root for someone like that to come in and do an effective job as quarterback and vindicate the faith the team has in him. And perhaps, as you suggest, if he has a good game, maybe he will be the quarterback of the future.
So yeah, you know, because that, you know, it looks like the plan. You know, I don't know what else, you know, they could have in mind. So we'll have to, you know, kind of wait and see what goes on or how it, you know, how it works out for them. But yeah, you know, they can't, you know, they can't take too many chances, because while they do have, I believe, the tiebreaker with Tampa Bay, they did win both of those games against them. You know, obviously if Tampa ends up with a better record, they pass them. So, you know, it's something you definitely have to be careful with. And we, you know, we'll just, you know, we'll see. I mean, it's interesting that, you know, Hill, I believe, only has 20 some odd passes in his career, and, you know, Winston is throwing more than that in a game.
So are you thinking that there's going to be basically a ground game when they play the next game, and we'll keep the passes to a minimum because of his lack of passing experience?
Yeah, you know, obviously they're catching a little bit of a break this week because they're playing Atlanta, you know, who for whatever reason just seems to like to give away games. So it's not a bad way to go. And if, you know, if Breeze just does just miss the minimum three games, the schedule lays out as the Falcons, the Broncos, and the Falcons. So it's three very winnable games, you know, pretty much, no, you know, unless your quarterback is Nick Foles or Mitch Trubisky, you know, you could probably win those games. And, you know, maybe that's part of the reason they're working it out. And then, you know, even if Breeze misses a fourth game, it's the Eagles who, you know, even though they're in first place in the NFC East. And I'm considering, I think you could go out and find 10 guys to play with you and be the first place team in that division.
Yeah, the worst division in football.
Yeah, it looks like it's a good place to
miss the fourth game, by the way. I'm guessing he misses more than three games.
Yeah, you know, what I'm figuring is, you know, if they go 4-0 while he's out, there's no rush to bring him back. You know, I'm sure they would like to have him against the Chiefs because that's going to be a tough game. You know, and then they have the Vikings and then the Panthers. So they have a couple games at the end of the season they could win, even though Minnesota has been playing much better. So, you know, he'll need a game or two to get ready for the playoffs. So I don't see any rush in getting him back out there. I would just think they would really, really want him against the Chiefs.
Yeah, if they don't rush him back, though, you would think he would need at least one game to get back in shape, possibly two, to be effective in the playoffs.
So, you know, and again, you know, they seem to be at a fairly decent part of their schedule to where, you know, obviously you would prefer to have Drew Brees as your starter, but, you know, if he's going to miss games, these are probably the games to miss.
Yeah, definitely. And all these upcoming three games when he's going to be out, at least three, are very winnable games, even though he's not a starting QB because they're playing some bad teams.
So yeah, it'll make it interesting to see how they go about it. But yeah, I fully expect we're going to see a lot of carries for Alvin Kamara and Latavius Murray, and then of course Hill will run the ball himself some. You know, they use the Wildcat anyways. When, you know, even when Drew Brees is their starter, you know, Hill will come in and take snaps and run the Wildcat formation. So it's basically going to be, I think, a lot of that. And, you know, they'll just try to control the game with the run game and, you know, hopefully put Atlanta away, which I honestly think they still can do.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if they won the game handily. And it sounds to me, though, they're going to play the old school Ohio State method of playing for the next game, which in the old school Ohio State way was, as they called it in the old days, 3 yards in a cloud of dust.
Yeah. So we'll see how it goes. I mean, I guess it's a way for them to find out what they have. So you know they get an idea of, you know, because obviously if he goes in and washes out, you know, then you're going to look, you know, start looking at the draft coming up on, well, maybe, you know, we're going to need to use one of our early picks for, a QB. So.
Yeah, that would be the scenario, of course, if he doesn't play up to par. Because if as you suggest, Brees is going to retire, they're going to have to be looking for a quarterback in the draft.
Yeah, because, you know, I mean, remember, he was considered not coming back for this season. So you got to figure you add the injury to it, you know, that may make it, you know, even a little bit more, you know, for him to decide, yeah, I think I've had enough and, you know, I'm going to stay, you know, stay home.
Yeah, and that, as we talked earlier, that this is certainly not a minor injury. This is pretty severe injury that happened to him. So I would lean towards him definitely retiring after this season.
So yeah, that's kind of the way kind of the way I'm looking at it. I mean, I honestly think it would be a guarantee if the Saints like won the Super Bowl, I could easily see him just walking away then. So,
yeah, well, I don't see that happening, but it will be an interesting, if they did wind up winning, he would definitely want to get out on a high note, as you suggest, and retire after winning the Super Bowl, although they're a good team, but I don't think they're good enough to win the Super Bowl, but we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, you know, like I honestly wouldn't be surprised if they ended up winning the NFC, but I don't think they're better than, you know, like a Kansas City, if they run into them in the Super Bowl, I don't see them beating them. I mean, you never know, but I don't think that that's going to happen. So.
Yeah, the way it stands right now, I'd have to think that Kansas City is probably a favorite to win the Super Bowl again for this upcoming season, based upon their performance so far this year.
Yeah, you know, it's oddly, you know, a little surprising to me that the Steelers are still undefeated. They're the only undefeated
That's
team
true.
Left.
That is true.
But yet everybody thinks Kansas City is the team. So.
You know, Pittsburgh has squeaked by in a few games too. They haven't really. They're undefeated, but I'm not sure they're as strong as their record indicates, at least so far.
Yeah, you know, but Kansas City had some bad losses. You know, they had a bad loss to Oakland, and then I think they almost had a bad loss to, well, the Chargers. I almost said San Diego because they'll probably always be the San Diego Chargers to me. But
right.
So yeah, you know, they've had their share of rough outings as well. I guess it's just that kind of, you know, and I mean, I know, you know, everybody loves Kansas City, so they're always going to kind of get the nod from the media. So I'm not surprised that everybody thinks they're the favorite, and you know, in reality, they probably are.
Yeah, but there probably isn't one truly dominant team in the NFL this season. Which, I mean, there's some strong teams, obviously, but no, can't miss. Winning a Super Bowl type team, as there has been in years past.
No, and you know, that should make going into the playoffs, you know, kind of interesting, you know, to see if somebody steps forward and can kind of get hot at the right time, you know, and make the, you know, make a run. So,
there'll be some surprises this year, like you said. There'll be some definite surprises in the upcoming playoffs, I think.
So, yeah, you know, the biggest surprise is I don't think the Bears are going to get in even with their 5-1 start or whatever they were. So.
Well, I don't know, because the Bears were certainly fortunate in that Foles was not severely injured in their last play. So I know you're excited about the fact that he might be starting again when they play the Packers.
Yeah. So. I don't think it matters who they start against the Packers, does it?
Probably not, unless they can resurrect an old retired quarterback who would maybe do a better job than either Foles or Trubisky.
So yeah, and you know, even if they do end up going to Trubisky, you know, he's having some shoulder issues.
Yeah.
So you know, you don't know how healthy he is. In reality, we could end up seeing it be Tyler Bray. So that would be definitely different.
Yeah, isn't it ironic that Trubisky has been pretty durable as a quarterback? He missed a couple of games, but he plays one play in the Wildcat and hurts his shoulder.
Yeah, so just kind of the way things have seemed to go. So.
Yeah, well, I think we were all kind of anticipating that the soft part of the season was over for the Bears, and they were running into some pretty severe losses along the way, and we have been proved right so far.
Yeah, you know, I mean, the funny thing is, in reality, if they wouldn't have caught some breaks early in the season, this record would really be bad.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
You know, they managed to kind of surprise everybody there and be, you know, 5-1 when they probably, in reality, probably should have been 3-3. So, yeah, just imagine how people would be looking at them right now if they only had 3 wins.
Yeah, it's really discouraging because the franchise used to be such a strong one, and a perennial contender year after year after year has fallen on really hard times right now with no end in sight.
No, you know, the difficult thing for me to take with this team is they hire an offensive-minded coach, and it's the offense that's the problem. You know, the defense is still really good, and you're wasting – quality years of having a top NFL defense because you can't get your offense together behind a guy who's supposed to be an offensive genius.
Yeah, yeah, and I know their defense has been relatively decent this year, but they seem to me to give up a lot of long plays, long third down plays this season, both on the pass and on the run. And, yeah, the rest of the time they look good, but it's those big plays they give up that really hurts them.
Yeah, you know, but you got to remember now a lot of those plays have been later in the game where they've been on the field for the majority of the game because the offense can't put anything together.
Yeah,
so, you know, a lot of the guys are just gassed. And, you know, the tireder you get, the more mental mistakes you make.
Yeah, and they look gassed at the end of the game.
It happens to everybody.
No doubt that you're right about that. And I've noticed that the last few games when they've been on the field so long and they just seem to run out of steam at the end. And you can understand why.
So, yeah, it's just, you know, I am a little interested in seeing if they make a change this offseason or, you know, if they decide to bring Matt Nagy back for one more year, because I would got to think he's sitting on a pretty hot seat. So.
Well, would you be surprised if they gave him one more year?
No, not with the way the Bears do things. That wouldn't surprise me at all. You know, and I mean, in truth, it really should be Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace out the door this year because, you know, I mean, you look at the drafts Pace has had, and he hasn't added anybody. You know, and then the fact that he got conned to not only draft Mitchell Trubisky, but to trade up and give away more draft picks just to move up one pick. So, you know, and I mean, you know, I get that everybody says, well, you know, he passed on Deshaun Watson and he passed on Patrick Mahomes. Even if they would have picked one of those two guys, this team still wouldn't be that good. Yeah, the quarterback play would probably be better, but even in this offense, those guys aren't going to succeed either. So,
no, they would do a lot better than Trubisky, of course, but not nearly the success that they would have that they obtained with another team. It's just the Bears, they're a cursed team, unfortunately, and there's just so many weaknesses, as you pointed out. Pace made one or two decent deals and trades and acquisitions, but for the most part, he's been a really bust, and I can't see them keeping him more than one more year at best, if that.
So, yeah, I just, you know, I don't have a lot of faith going into, you know, the next, you know, this upcoming off season, because obviously you're going to have to find a quarterback and you need to rebuild the offensive line. You know, my fear is they'll take a quarterback with their first pick again and it just won't be anybody who's ready to play. So.
Yeah, sad times. And,
yeah. Yeah.
Well, maybe Theo can switch sports and switch from baseball to football and lead the Bears to out of the wilderness.
Yeah, they're surprising as it may sound, there have been a lot of people in Chicago who think that's a really good idea. So I don't honestly think it would work because I don't believe he's a football guy that you would need, but yeah, they suggested bringing him in and, you know, making him president of the organization. I doubt that whichever McCaskey has that position right now would be willing to give it up, but it's a fun idea to talk about, but remember the Browns tried this. They brought in a baseball analytic guy and it didn't work for them. So,
yeah, it's pretty difficult to switch sports like that and expect the management to succeed. So, yeah, I don't think they will be in the Bears' best interest to do that with Epstein. No, I see him going to Philadelphia, and Philadelphia, the Mets, or maybe the Angels, and his next stop in baseball.
But the only team it did work for, you know, the Blackhawks made that hire.
Yeah.
And I'm drawing a blank on the name from the Cubs.
Was it McDonough?
But he didn't really make. Yeah, that's it. But he didn't really make personnel moves. He just, you know, helped them promote the club better. You know, he started the, you know, the convention and, you know, all those kind of things. He didn't, you know, he didn't have anything to do with player personnel. So.
No, what he did was very effective, though. It really turned the Blackhawks into a major sports team in Chicago, and they hadn't been one in Chicago for a long, long time.
Yeah, well, you know, when your owner refuses to show your home games on TV because he's stuck in the 1960s or whatever, you've got a problem. So.
Well, fortunately, Rocky rescinded that idea. But when he did have fans in attendance, it didn't hurt their attendance at all that every home game was televised either. They still have capacity crowds anyway.
You know, and I get that used to be the thinking back in the day. And, you know, they were correct. You know, people would rather stay home and watch the game. But, you know, now you make it, you know, it's an event to go to a game, and people want to go to games. You know, they want to go see the Blackhawks. They want to go to places like Wrigley Field. Even though the Bulls stink, they still draw pretty well. I know their sellout streak ended. But they, you know, they still draw pretty well as far as NBA teams go. And to be fair, nobody watches the NBA on TV, so it's no surprise there's more people at the game. But yeah, it was, you know, it was just antiquated thinking that was holding the team back. And you know, once they, you know, they got some, you know, some new Wirtz blood in there, it really turned things around. And you know, they did everything right and won some Stanley Cups.
Yeah, I will say one thing though. I've been, of course, to baseball, basketball, football, and hockey. And if there's one sport that you can really enjoy better, of course you can enjoy any sport in person better, but if there's one sport that really enhances your ability to enjoy the game, it's hockey. Being at a hockey game in person as compared to either baseball, football, or basketball, you could really understand the game a lot better when you see it in person as compared to watching it on TV.
Yeah, well, you know, to be fair, I'm sure some of those, you know, January games in Soldier Field are probably no fun to go to when it's, you know, negative 50 with the wind chill. So.
No. Yeah.
You know, but yet there still will be some guy out there taking his shirt off.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. That reminds me, years and years ago, I think Lombardi was still coaching the Packers, and the Bears were playing at Wrigley Field. I had 50-yard seats for a Bear Packers Saturday nationally televised game. 50, and the last row of the 50-yard was the 50-yard line. It was so cold that we left at the end of the third quarter. Talk about being cold at a game late in the year at Wrigley Field.
So yeah, I'm sure you weren't the only people leaving. So.
As it turned out, by the way, the Bears were down 17-0, if I remember, at the end of the third quarter, and that was the final score. So I didn't miss any scoring, at least.
So, yeah, there you go. Yeah, you didn't miss too much. So.
No, but that was intensely
that
cold.
So, you know, but yeah, you know, I was kind of looking, hoping there would be some, you know, big NBA news because free agency started, I believe, the same time we started the podcast. And apparently all I see right now is Goran Dragic and Myers Leonard have agreed to stay with Miami. Other than that, there's no really big signing news. I was hoping there'd be something on, you know, Giannis about what he was going to do or – you know, and I mean, I know earlier in the day, Gordon Hayward opted out, so he's a free agent. But, you know, again, I was kind of hoping for some big news, not the, you know, these minor things. I was looking for something big right off the bat, like Anthony Davis decided to sign with the Bulls, but apparently that
didn't happen.
Huh?
No, but what about the big possible pay-per-view event one-on-one basketball with Michael Jordan and what's the father's name? Bell? Ball?
LeVar.
Did you read about that? He wants to challenge MJ to a one-on-one, and they, since Tyson's going to be coming out of retirement and fighting at 50, he wants to have a pay-per-view event with a one-on-one against Michael Jordan.
Yeah, they actually asked the son who was just drafted by the Hornets, LaMelo, about that, and his response was, he said, don't think it'll happen.
No.
So, you know, and, you know, the sad part is, you know, I know LeVar likes to shoot his mouth off, and that's his thing. Even at Jordan's age, I know he's 50-plus now, the last thing you want to do is tick the guy off because he'll go out there and embarrass you. I honestly don't even know if LeVar would score if that ever took place.
Yeah, I thought it would be kind of amusing to see it actually happen because I think that Jordan's competitive juices will be working and he will absolutely crush him. And I wouldn't be surprised if they put it on free TV, not pay-per-view, free TV. I bet the ratings would be a lot better than for a normal NBA game.
Yeah, probably. You know, because obviously it wouldn't take that long. You know, I mean, you could make it a half-hour thing, and the game would only take probably 15 minutes of it. So, but yeah, I hope it doesn't happen just because. I don't want to see this jackass dragged back into the spotlight where there's a story on him every day because, you know, he's just a clown. And I'm guessing the shoe company is out of business because I haven't heard anything about it. Or maybe the whole Big Baller brand is just out of business, you know, because I haven't heard much there. But yeah, I don't want to deal with that crap again with this clown. So,
yeah, he is pretty obnoxious, no doubt about it. And we'll see how the latest. His son was what, picked third in the draft.
Third to the Hornets.
And we'll see how he fares in the when the season starts, and if he'll be an effective NBA player.
So yeah, you know, I mean, from all reports, he's supposed to be pretty good. You know, especially offensively, which I'm sure is no surprise to anybody. Defensively, he's atrocious, but so is just about everybody in the NBA now. So that's not a big surprise. But we'll see how it shakes out. And you know, there was some talk he had a chance to go number one. So
yeah, there were rumors
he definitely
that.
Yeah, must be a quality player, or hopefully he's a quality player.
Right, and I know you weren't all that enamored with the Bulls' choice in their fourth for their selection, although I think he might be a solid player. I'm not sure he'll be a superstar, but he wasn't a starter, actually, was he? But didn't he win the award in college as the six-man ward of the year, one of those in one season?
Well, he won it for his conference.
Right.
He was the sixth man of the year in his conference for whatever that's worth. But, yeah, you know, you always got to kind of question, you know, we had the fourth pick in the draft and we drafted a guy who didn't start. So, you know, and everything I heard on him is, if he's going to become a quality NBA player, it's going to be 3 or 4 years down the road. So I don't know how that's going to work out for the Bulls.
And you have to ask yourself then, if it's going to take him that long to develop, why did the Bulls make that choice? Because they need help right now. They need some help right now.
You know, that's the big question, you know. And then the guy they took in the second round won't even join the team for years. So basically you made two draft picks that probably aren't going to help you until multiple years down the road. So, you know, I mean, you've got to guess they end up back in the lottery next year. You know, maybe that's their plan. They're going to continue to try to end up in the lottery and hope all these guys develop at the same time, but I don't know.
Isn't the word, the hype, is that the next year's draft is going to be very strong? I mean, a lot of good players available in the next year's draft.
Yeah, I think a lot depends on who comes out. But, yeah, it's supposed to be a good draft. Not a great draft like some have been, but it's supposed to be better than this one. You know, like in this draft, they only had the three surefire NBA players. So, of course, the Bulls drafted fourth, and all three of those guys went before they picked. So...
yeah, they can't seem to get a break, and it'll be interesting. And I'm wondering if the new coach, the new Bulls coach, had any say in the selections for the draft. Did he have any input in the selections?
Yeah, I haven't heard anything, so I don't know. You know, they haven't said, you know, what kind of, you know, input they had. I mean, you would like to think if you brought him in, you want to give him players that he wants to work with. So, you know, you would hope he had some, but again, you know, you never know.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. And any NBA team has talent, let's face it. I mean, it's the NBA. But I don't know if the Bulls, in the season, what's going to be 10 games shorter than normal next season? Is that correct?
Yeah.
So, if the Bulls win 30 games, would that be a moral victory for them?
Probably. You know, I mean, I honestly don't see them winning more than 25. So, you know, if they somehow manage to get the 30, you know, that would definitely be good enough to get into the expanded playoffs, as big of a joke as that's going to be again.
Well, we know what the outcome of that would be if they snuck into the last round in the playoffs, the last selection, they're one and done, of course.
So, yeah, no matter who gets in those last playoff spots, they're going out in the first round. There's the only way they advance is if they seed it differently and they play a team that's seeded and their number, because they're not beating a one seed or anything like that. You know, they're not even winning a game against a one seed.
No. Well, they're only, fortunately, Eastern Division still isn't as strong as the Western Conference, so that would give them an outside chance maybe to sneak one win in, but it's very, very doubtful that even that would happen.
Yeah, no, I couldn't see them beating whoever the top seed would be it Milwaukee again or, you know, a Boston, or if Philadelphia rights the ship and even sneaks in there. They're not winning a game against them in a playoff series. So
No. It will be interesting, though, to see how the new coach does with the Bulls. I mean, he does have credentials. And so he has achieved some success in the past.
Yeah, you know, and I know the local station is trying hard to push the Bulls because they play the games. So, you know, they're trying to make them sound young and, you know, like they're going to be something. But, you know, anybody who knows anything about basketball knows this team is going to be pathetic. And, you know, what they were hoping for in the draft was a player to build around, and they didn't get it. So they don't have that.
Yeah, and as you pointed out, they may have a fairly solid choice in their selection, but it's going to take them a while to develop into a bona fide everyday NBA player. And do they have 3 or 4 years to wait for that to happen?
Yeah, and that's the thing is, how long do you end up waiting, and you know, is it one of those things where they're going to develop him and then he's going to go sign someplace else?
Yeah, we've seen that scenario happen before too, and you hate to see something like that occur, but that is always a possibility.
So, you know, and I mean, you know, we'll see. I mean, it's just the position they're in right now where they can't seem to get out of their own way, and maybe something will work out for them. You know, maybe they can be the Miami Marlins of basketball this season and actually win a playoff series. Of course, the Marlins beat, you know, the one of the most pathetic franchises in baseball, but they still won a series.
Yeah, and they actually won it rather easily, too.
Yeah. So.
Yes, there are sad times in Chicago sports right now. I mean, we think of all our franchises, the five major franchises, and maybe the only one we have to look forward to being a fairly decent team are the White Sox.
What about the Sky? Oh.
Well, I forgot about that. I mean, I said the major team. And the Sky didn't make the playoffs. They did pretty poorly in the playoffs last season, too, didn't they? They were eliminated rather
handily. Yeah, but at least they got in.
You know,
we can't forget about the Fire either. They're not playing very well.
So, but then the NBA did make another decision today. You know, they were unable to come to any kind of agreement with the Canadian government to allow the Raptors to play home games. So they are now, at least for this season, the Tampa Raptors. They're going to play their home games in the Tampa Bay Lightning Stadium or arena, I guess it would be. So yeah, they'll be in Florida for this season because, you know, with the virus and everything, Canada doesn't allow travel into their country from the U.S. and they weren't going to make exceptions for sports teams.
Well,
so
about culture shock, though, right? These players are used to playing their home games in Toronto during the winter, and now they're playing them in Tampa. If you had a choice, where would you prefer to play your games?
One of the other advantages they may have, I don't know, being that they're not from there, is, you know, Florida is one of the states where you can actually allow fans into the building. You know, it's a limited number, but they're actually allowed to have people into the building.
Yeah, what percent capacity? What, 25% maybe, or if that much?
I don't remember
what it is, but you know, at least it's something.
Well, it's certainly it's always better when the fans are in attendance. But of course, it's no fault of anybody's about the pandemic. But it does really seem to detract from the enjoyment of the sport when you watch a game when there aren't any fans there.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, I don't have a problem watching football without the fans. You know, hockey was a little weird because I'm kind of used to the crowd noise. But basketball, you know, let's face it, very few people care, and the ratings are proof of that. I mean, when I turn on a game, I just want to score, and then I want to go away because – I don't want to watch guys just throw up three-pointer after three-pointer and then get out of somebody's way when he's going to dunk because, you know, you'll get called for the foul even if you don't foul him, and
true.
B, nobody plays defense. So,
interesting, by the way, you mentioned about football, and that's the one sport I've watched that it doesn't seem to bother me as much that there aren't any fans in attendance for the most part as the other sports. The other ones I seem to notice it more, but in football, for some reason, it doesn't seem to affect me. It's just a game, and the excitement is still there. I don't know if it's because there's only a 16-game schedule as compared to the other sports being so many more games, but yeah, you're right. Football doesn't seem to affect me at all when I watch it and there's no fans there.
So, yeah, you know, that I haven't had a problem. You know, I didn't even have a problem watching baseball when there wasn't you know, there weren't fans. That didn't bother me at all because, you know, they're really not all that involved. You know, I mean, where hockey, I think it's different because they're right on the glass and you notice them there. But, you know, baseball and football, they're far enough away where, yeah, so they're not here, big deal.
Yeah, and truth be told, and this is a playoff baseball game, during the regular season, the fans are really not engaged, though, when they do watch a baseball game. They're too busy drinking their beer or checking their cell phones or talking to their neighbors or other things. I found that to be very annoying when you can have fans in the stands. And I was at Wrigley Field and being an avid baseball fan, I'm one of the few people actually watching the game, it seems like, during the course of an afternoon of baseball.
Yeah, well, that's why we now need netting around the field, because there's just too many people who, you know, would rather take a selfie in their seat than watch the ball coming at them.
Yeah,
so.
They had to do that. They just had to do that after that incident that took place a year or two ago. Just some terrible injuries. And it's very frightening. I mean, there was one, I don't know if you've seen that one play where the fan had a baby in his arms. There was a foul ball, and he just nonchalantly grabbed it with his other hand and actually grabbed the ball. But that could have been a catastrophe in waiting to happen.
Yeah, surprisingly, there's been a few of them where, you know, guys holding children have, you know, just casually caught foul balls or home runs or, you know, whatever they are. So I'm guessing their wife isn't at the game while that's going on.
No, and that is a serious accident waiting to happen.
So, you know, but, you know, at least, you know, there's a parent with this kid. I mean, you know, they had the one kid get hit who was running around by himself. His parents just let him go. They were 3 or 4 or whatever and just let him wander around. You know, that's probably not the smartest thing to do.
No. And I guess eventually there'll be nettings and more nettings in all the ballparks, and it's probably going to mar your enjoyment of the game. It's probably going to be a distraction, I would think.
I think they all have them now. I believe everybody's up, so.
Yeah, but they had them when there weren't any fans in the stands anyway, but we'll have to wait and see what happens now when things are back to normal and there's a full crowd and how many fans are going to be impeded watching a game because of these new rules with netting.
Yeah, you know, we'll have to see if it becomes an issue or if anybody thinks it's an issue. You know, with the attention span of the fans, I don't think too many of them are actually going to notice. So
yeah, that's the sad thing about the modern fan when it comes to baseball, at least. I'm not sure it holds the same for football or hockey. I think the fans are pretty well in tune to the game. Not so much maybe in basketball. I think basketball may be similar in terms of fan interest at the games as with baseball. Maybe I can equate the fans at a basketball game with the fans at a baseball game.
So, yeah, you know, you think basketball, if you're there, you're probably into it, especially if you're close. You know, if you're courtside or right down there or, you know, something like that, you're probably into the game. So,
yeah, it's hard to imagine the fans that in those bleed seats at the UC actually really, truly enjoying the basketball game.
So, you know, that, you know, unless you're there just to see the mascot or something. So.
Yeah, right, exactly.
But, yeah, well, you know, I can't afford to sit down there, so I don't know.
Yeah, those are not cheap. That is for sure. And they have that for the hockey games. They have kind of an auction for every home game that you can sit right in the dead first row and right on top of the action. But they never say what those auction prices go for. But I'm sure that's got to be astronomically high.
Yeah, I could just imagine, you know. I mean, it's got to be an interesting place to sit, but, yeah, just the idea of, you know, what you would have to pay for it is crazy.
Yeah, the prices of all the sports are so high now, and when we get back to normal, I don't know if they'll make any changes in what they charge the fans for the games, or will they actually have to increase the prices to get to recoup some of the losses the teams have incurred.
Yeah, you've really got to figure that's what we're looking at. You know, I mean, they're going to want to get their money back, you know, which is part of the reason the NBA is playing 72 games, because that's the minimum they can play according to their television contract without having to give back money. You know, like I mentioned to Dan the other day, what I laughed about is one of the shows I enjoy on the Mickey Mouse Network is a show called Highly Questionable. And Dan Lebatard is the host. I know he may still work for the Miami newspaper down there. I'm not sure. He was a sports writer for a long time. But all baseball season, he killed them for doing what they call the money grab, because they played. And yet he has yet to say a damn thing about the NBA. And it's obvious because his employer, the Mickey Mouse Network, has so much television money wrapped up with them that they just had to lay off 200 more people because nobody's watching the NBA and they got to figure out how to pay for it. So, yeah, I get a kick out of that baseball made a money grab by playing 60 games, but yet the NBA is playing their minimum amount of games allowed by their television contract. And this guy doesn't have big enough Canucks to say that about the NBA because he's worried about his job.
Yeah, and you got to be very careful sometimes. These announcers, you got to be, politically correct and know who you're working for. And certainly, he said something about the basketball. He might be joining the other people who were laid off by ESPN.
Yeah. So, but yeah, you know, that always kind of makes me, you know, hypocritical of these guys when it's like, you know, I'm going to kill this sport or that, or, you know, like everybody wants to go after the NFL because they're the big dog, you know, but yet other leagues will do the same thing and nobody says a word, you know, they don't say a word about it.
Yeah, a lot
and it's
of
like, okay,
a
well,
lot of hypocrisy around
you know,
this
is what
when it comes to that.
So, you know, it just makes me chuckle. But yeah, I'm like, yeah, you can, you know, I get it. You're just covering your, because if you said it about, you know, if you said it about basketball, they would probably come down on you and, you know, maybe not fire you, but they may suspend you or, you know, something like that. And, you know, you don't want to go through that. So, you know, you play nice and you don't say anything, even though it's clear what they're doing. You know, I mean,
exactly.
I can't blame them for wanting to hold on to that TV money.
Yeah, for
so.
Sure. And you imagine how long Jimmy Pearsall would would have lasted as a baseball analyst in today's politically correct economy that we live in?
Yeah, no, it's you know, it's tough when you're that guy who, you know, tries to tell the truth because you don't want to.
Now, are there any controversial baseball announcers out there anymore? I mean, or does everybody kind of stick to non-controversial subjects when they cover a baseball game?
No, I don't think there's anybody who's really, you know, to that point. I mean, you know, locally, Steve Stone will still point out when he feels, you know, the White Sox have made a mistake. You know, that's the one thing he'll still do. But there, you know, there's very few of those guys left that will, you know, instead of saying, well, we should have done this or this guy made a mistake, they try to cover it up instead of just admitting the guy made a mistake. So
yeah, and yeah, I guess you're right. Stone always does seem to be pretty analytical when it comes to a mistake the White Sox have made. He'll point it out, but you won't see too many of those anymore.
Yeah, you know, on the other side of town, your two favorite guys are just, you know, they're not going to point out anything negative. You know, you never hear a negative word come out of those two guys. You know, they'll sugarcoat it until you can't stomach it. And, you know, and then they'll talk to you about food or music or something else.
Yeah,
so.
As I pointed out many times, I remember seeing one inning when all they talked about was who makes the best hot fudge sundae, or how many covers of a heavy metal song there have been. This could have been during the ninth inning in a 2-2 ball game. Who knows? But that's infuriating. I know. And yet everybody, they're big favorites with the Chicago Cubs fans, right? Both Len and JD. The fans just love them. You ever seen any criticism of them? I haven't.
No, you know, every now and then I hear something, but nothing that's going to, you know, really have anybody talking about them. You know, they're very personable, and, that's kind of how it is today. Do you want guys who can talk about more than what's just going on the field, I guess.
Yeah, but have you noticed that how much better, how much more professional that Len Casper is when he does a national game on Fox as the pair when he does a game with the Cubs? Big difference.
Yeah.
Tremendous difference.
You know, all those guys are different, you know, when they're doing the Fox game, because they need to be more professional. They can't be their, you know, chummy. Well, you know, the only guys who are like that are the color guys, you know, A.J. Pierzynski and those kind of guys are, you know, still themselves, but the announcers go into that, you know, what they were taught in school.
Yeah, exactly. And you're talking about AJ, and I have to admit that he's got a nice career set for himself now. I think as a analyst, he's pretty good behind the mic.
No, well, you know, and that, you know, not surprising. Being a catcher, he knows former catcher. He knows the game. So, you know, he understands what pitchers are trying to do to hitters, and, you know, that's always going to be a big plus. And, you know, that's one of the biggest things with Steve Stone, again, you know, why he's one of the best guys, because he'll tell you, well, you know, you should throw this here at this point in the count to try to get this. So
it's unfortunate there aren't too many analysts to do that anymore.
No, you know, and it's weird, you know, obviously a lot of, you know, I think all the analysts are former players, but for whatever reason, they don't break down the game like that. And I don't know if maybe somebody's telling them that it would go over the viewers' heads, or, you know, maybe this new wave of fans wouldn't want to listen to it.
Yeah, that's a possibility. It'd be interesting to find out what management discusses with these color analysts are for what they can and can't do. Are there guidelines that they have to follow?
Yeah, well, you know, I guess it's something we'll have to look into for next Friday. The music is still in Ireland. Now, at the end of the day, Monday, we need to pick up the week. While we're talking about the deal, change from radio to and look for the new blog popping up there tomorrow morning. The link over there takes you to the Facebook page. You know the deal. You want to go over there. Go ahead and like it. And again, don't forget that Twitter feed, which is on Sportsman Radio. I, of course, am on Twitter as well. If you want to look me up, and hey, if you stop by and listen to the live, thank you very much. We appreciate that. But if you did miss it, or probably get on over to TuneIn.com. listening. All right, everybody, have a good weekend.